friendship is better. The anchor holds.
Thank you for joining us for the Anchor Baptist broadcast, a ministry of the Anchor Baptist Church in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, with our pastor, Dr. Randy C. Barton. Our services are also live streamed on Facebook at Anchor Baptist Church. We now go by recording to the sanctuary of Anchor Baptist for a message from Pastor Barton.
The book of Matthew, chapter number 4, if you'll stand with me for just a moment. The book of Matthew, chapter number 4. I want to wax simple this morning. Simple thought, simple message. The book of Matthew, chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea." Notice the phrase, "for they were fishers." Verse number 19, "And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Notice the phrase, "fishers of men." "And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from hence, that he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets." Notice where they were. They were in a ship. Notice what they were doing. They were mending their nets. "And he called them. And immediately, they immediately left the ship and their father and follow him." I want to bring your attention this morning to fishermen. And we see these people that are called, these are the disciples, Simon and Andrew. And then now we see James and John. And even though the Bible doesn't say they were fishing, they were on a ship with their father mending their nets. The assumption is they were fishermen. And so we see the Lord in choosing his 12, choosing fishermen. And so I've got a question that I'm going to see if I can answer. Why did the Lord choose fishermen to be the apostles in the New Testament and not shepherds? Why would he have done that? Let's see if we can find out. Let's bow our heads together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, clear our hearts and minds, and may the power of God be sufficient to make up from what I am to what I ought to be during this hour. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. You think about choosing the 12, and choosing the 12, I mean, they were such an integral part of the Lord's earthly ministry. The 12 would be his friends and his followers. The 12 would be his partners, and they would be ultimately be prophets. They would be his companions, but they would ultimately carry on the ministry that he would leave in their hands. So it would be a logical assumption to expect that the Lord Jesus would have called shepherds to make up his apostles. And by the way, there were plenty of shepherds on those hills. And so the Gospels could just as easily have read that he went onto the hillside and said, "I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and I want you." He could easily have read that. You and I wouldn't know the difference. But he didn't go to the hills where the shepherds were. Instead, he went to the seashore. Why? You think about in the Old Testament, Abraham is a shepherd. Isaac is a shepherd. Jacob is a shepherd. Moses is a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Amos was a shepherd. And so there is prominent attention given to shepherding in the Bible. Why didn't God, Christ not choose shepherds? And then, of course, there is the, I'm going to give you a word and I'll define it. The parabolic. What does that mean? It means like a parable. There's the parabolic aspect, the parabolic attribute of shepherding. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's a parable. It's the place, the writer is taking the place as if he's the sheep. And he uses the metaphor that Christ is the shepherd. Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And so there's the prominent attention to shepherding, all those famous shepherds. There's the parabolic attribute of shepherding in the Bible. And then there's also the prophetic aspect of shepherding in the Bible. In John 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And by the way, he was, he is, and he will be to come. That's coming. That's going to happen. Okay? And so there's certainly the prophetic aspect of him being the good shepherd. But interestingly enough, the Lord Jesus mostly called fishermen. In John 21, when Christ has resurrected, they've pretty much scattered, like sheep would scatter without a shepherd. And what do you think they went? Simon said, "I go a fishing." And the other said, "We go with thee." Why? Because that's what they knew. That's what they did. That's who they were. John 21, 2, they together... there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, which would have been James and John, and two other of the disciples. Doesn't say who they were. And so very quickly here I added up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So here are 7 out of 12. They're fishing. So the majority of the apostles were fishermen. Why? Well, let's think about some things if we can. Shepherds are known to be in solitude. Shepherds work individually in solitude. Shepherds don't work together. You might, as you're coming up as a boy, you might be an apprentice shepherd and might be with another shepherd. But the minute that you're old enough to handle a flock, they're going to send you out away. And the reason you don't come together, you come together at the watering hole, but you don't put 200 sheep on the same grass. They compete for it. So what do? You go one way and you go the other way. It's necessary. You have to separate the sheep. And you have to keep them moving. Because sheep will eat and just keep eating. They'll just eat it right into the ground. They'll dig the root up and eat it. They like the root as much as they do the blade. They'll just keep eating. And so sheep have got to keep moving. You got to keep moving them. Otherwise, they're going to destroy the land that they're on. And so you've got to constantly be moving the sheep. In order to do that, you've got to lead them. And so the shepherd's not herding them from the back. He's leading them from the front, and he has to go separate from the others. Now, they come together at the water hole. That's the place that they get together. That's the place that they have a little bit of fellowship occasionally if there's somebody else there. But again, that's just a happening. The shepherd goes out in the warm weather. He spends most of the summer by himself without seeing another soul. The fisherman, on the other hand, and it's just the opposite. Just as the shepherd works individually in solitude, the fisherman must be involved in society. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, and now I'm not talking about fly fishing, and I'm not talking about trout fishing, although who don't like to go with somebody? I mean, everybody likes to go fishing with somebody. Hey, you want to go fishing? There are people that go fishing by themselves, but who do you have to brag to? Kind of like playing golf by yourself. What's the point, right? If you can't brag about the shot and you can't get somebody else to say, "Wow," I mean, what's the point, right? And so that's the way it is about fishing. There are a few people, they'll go fishing and they just fish because they fish. But for the most part, people go fishing in teams. They go fishing in pairs. They go fishing in groups. Most people like to have somebody with them when they fish, even with a rod and reel. But the fishing that I'm talking about was commercial fishing. The fishing I'm talking about was done from a ship. The fishing I'm talking about was done with nets. And even in casting the nets and setting the nets, they were big, they were heavy, and it required more than one person. And so there was that aspect of it. Now think with me what I'm going to say here. The scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 16:11. Remember the anointing of Jesse? Are they going to Jesse's house looking for the anointing of David? Remember that? And so the 6 sons of Jesse come in, and Samuel goes through them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is not the Lord's anointed. And he said, "Is there yet another?" And they said, "Yeah, there is one more. Yet remaineth the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." Where's he at? He's by himself. What's he doing? He's keeping the sheep. In Luke 15, verse 4, the parable of the 99 talks about how that the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes and looks for the one in the wilderness to go after that which is lost until he find it. Didn't leave them with somebody else. There was nobody else to leave them with. He leaves them in a group because they're safe, but he goes to look for the one. And so I think that we can establish that the shepherd must invest weeks in solitude watching over the sheep and have very little contact with other humans. But on the other hand, the fisherman, he must intensely work in solidarity watching out for fish. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, fishermen help each other. Fishermen look out for each other. When in Luke chapter number 5, the Lord had said to Simon, he said, let down your nets, plural. And let me just read you the passage. Luke 5:1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and talked the people out of the ship. What the Lord Jesus was doing is he was using that water, he was using it as a reflection. If you've ever been fishing, ever been on a lake, the people out on the boat are yelling at each other over the outboard motor, but you can hear them on land clear as a bell. You can hear what they're saying. Water, sound travels very good over water. And so the Lord Jesus was using that. He got up on the ship. He was bouncing the reflection of his voice off of the water and shooting it up to the people on the shore so they could hear him. And he sat down, taught the people. Verse number 4, now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Your nets for a draught. Verse 5 in Luke 5, Simon answering said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, there's something missing between what he was told to do and what he did. The Lord said, let down your nets, plural. He let down the net, singular. Look what happened. Verse 6 of Luke 5, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, the other folks that were fishing with them, through their partners, which were in the other ship, more than one ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. That's every fisherman's dream, isn't it? That you drowned because you had so many fish in the boat that your boat sank, right? At your epitaph, they tell about caught so many fish it sunk the boat, you know. Everybody wants that, right? What I'm trying to say is that the fishermen, they work in solidarity, not in solitude, but in solidarity. They work with others, and that was an example of that in the scripture. And of course, there is the aspect that not only do they catch the fish, that they take fish to market. In Nehemiah 13, the men of Tyre were bringing fish to market. The problem is they were bringing it on the Sabbath day. And so the fishermen, it was usually direct. So you'd catch the fish, then you'd take it to market. You sell the fish. People come and buy the fish. And so there was a lot of social interaction, you know, and the next day you do it again. And so people knew they were fishermen. People bought their fish. This is the guy I always like to go to. He's got the best fish. He's got the biggest fish. He's got the freshest fish. And so they do that, and they go and they get them. If you've never been to some of the third world where they do that, I've been there. I've been to the fish market. Stinky place. But they have all their fish laid out, and you go through and pick out. And it was just caught. And you go pick out what you want, take it home, and eat it. And so that's the way it was in that day. Can I just say this? And so what's the takeaway, preacher? Well, shepherds work individually in solitude, but fishermen, they work together in solidarity. So what's the takeaway, preacher? Well, we've got to have a time of solitude. We've got to have a time alone with the Lord. And we got to get our tank full, and we got to get our heart right, and we got to get what we need from the Lord. But then the ministry is not to close the curtains and stay in your room. The ministry is to take it outside of the four walls and go to the world. But in order to do that, we have to work together. Now, the followers of Christ got to be involved with people. And we've got to be about our Father's business with the masses. COVID did something to us. It kind of put us in a box. And I think we're still there to a degree. You know, we just kind of internalized, you know. And outreach was out of the question. You didn't go to meetings. You didn't go to anything. You didn't have anything. You didn't go to anything. And now people are not. We got so used to that, now people are not going. Now people are not doing. People are not going to church. Church attendance is probably the lowest. And I'm not talking about here, but I'm talking about in general. Church attendance is probably the lowest it's been in our lifetime. Part of it because of close, you know, for internet, people can see it. That's some of it. But a lot of it had to do with scared of getting out, scared of getting sick, scared of getting in places. And a lot of people still got that, still got those issues. What I'm saying is, though, that's exactly backwards of what the calling is. The calling is not to be a shepherd on the lonely side of a hill somewhere. The calling is to be a fisherman and be out here and say, hey, grab this side of the net. I'll grab this side. You grab over there. Here, let's go. That's the call. That's where we need to be. So that's one of the reasons that Christ called fishermen instead of shepherds to be apostles. And then a similar thought. Shepherds work alone in solitude, but fishermen work alongside of others. The scripture says in 1 Samuel, said, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. When David was talking about the bear and the lion, he talked about keeping them and talked about his being thy servant, kept his father's sheep. He was with the sheep. And he says, thy servant slew both the lamb and the lion. And so, can I say it this way? Even as hard as it gets, having a lamb and having a lion and a bear attack you, that's pretty bad. Matter of fact, that's real bad. That's real serious. But David overcame that. So in other words, one man can be a shepherd. One man alone can do the work of a shepherd. It is possible. That's normally the way it's done. But then again, the Bible tells us in Mark 6, he said when he was sending out the 12, he said he began to send them forth by two and two. He didn't send them out separately. He sent them out two and two. In Matthew 4, two brethren, Simon and Peter, Andrew and his brother, casting a net into the sea. In Matthew 4 that we read, two brethren, James and John, mending their nets. So in other words, can I say it this way? Just as shepherds work individually in solitude, fishermen must be involved in society. Shepherds work alone in solitude. Fishermen work alongside one another. In other words, it's a collective effort to see people saved by the grace of God. One man can do the work of a shepherd, but I want you to understand that no man alone can do the work of a fisherman. Christ called them two by two. So, can I say it this way? It takes teamwork to try to win somebody to the Lord. It takes teamwork to try to make people feel welcome. Yeah, you know, everybody expects the preacher to welcome you. That's expected. But man, it takes more than the preacher welcoming somebody for somebody to feel welcome. It takes more than that. It takes a team effort. And somebody said, well, I'm here for this or I'm here for that. Well, we all should be here for the same reason. To worship the Lord and hope that others will too. And try to bring others in. That's a part of it. Understand this. A man who works as a part of a team can typically work by himself if he needs to. But you take somebody who always works by themselves, it makes it very difficult when he's asked to be a part of a team and consider the ideals or the plans or the methods of someone else. You can tell somebody that's alone a lot. and works by themselves because they have a trouble adapting to how anybody else's thought or anybody else's pattern or anybody else's ideas. Won't even consider it because they're not used to being around somebody else. I want you to understand in ministry, ministry hinges on two words. We're bad to say, if we're not careful, preachers are bad to say, you will do so and so. But the fact of the matter is, with a volunteer army, you turn those words around and it's will you. You don't say you will, you say will you. You can get the same result, but with a great different attitude. I want you to understand it is extremely important that we have the will you attitude. And we have the attitude that, hey, your ideas are as good as mine. That's hard for some people to consider. But understand, sometimes we get in a box. Sometimes we get tunnel vision, and we think that we're the only ones that got it right. We're the only ones that's right with God. We're the only ones serving God. We're the only ones. Elijah had that. And the Lord reminded him, he said, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You just don't know about them. Elijah, you may have the lone complex, but they 7,000 more. They ain't compromised. They're still right with God. I've got them. You just don't know about it. And you think you're the only one. And so, why did the Lord call shepherds? Not call shepherds, instead call fishermen. Well, shepherds work individually in solitude. Fishermen must be involved in society. Shepherds, they work individually in solitude. They also work alone in solitude. Fishermen work alongside of others. But also, think of this. Shepherds are herders. Fishermen are hunters. Think about it. We get a hunting and fishing license, but what are you going to do when you get your fishing license? You're going to go hunt fish. Is that right? That's what you do. You hunt fish. Now, think of this. Shepherds are herders. What do shepherds do? Shepherds work to feed and keep what they have. That's their job, to feed and keep what they have. The scripture said, where was David at? Said, he keepeth the sheep. And at the end of the day, he had as many as he started with, Lord willing. If he's done his job correctly, had as many as he started with, Lord willing. And the next day, you know what the reward was at the end of the day? He didn't lose one. You know what the next reward the next day was? What a successful day was? He didn't lose any. And that's how that was the success. That's how you measure the success of a shepherd, is I didn't lose any. I'm keeping what I had, and I'm feeding what I had. Matter of fact, that lion and that bear tried to take a lamb and he delivered that. He thought so much about the charge of feeding and keeping what he had that he was willing to fight a lion and willing to fight a bear to get a lamb back. Just one lamb. But at the end of the day, he had to have that lamb check in. If he's had a successful day, he got as many as he started with every single day. He started out with this many, he ended up with this many. That's a successful day in the life of a shepherd, to feed and keep what they have. Fishermen, on the other hand, quite different. Shepherds are herders. Fishermen are hunters. Shepherds work to feed. Fishermen work to find. Shepherds work to keep. Fishermen work to catch. Fishermen work to find and catch, not what they have, but what they have not. That's the whole idea. We were coming down the river yesterday. And I've lived here all my life, and I saw something I never saw. We were coming down the river, and a bald eagle was flying up the river looking for fish. Flew right over our heads, and part of the group got to see it twice. It circled and come back around, come right over top of our heads. It don't get no better than that. I mean, I've lived here all my life. I've never seen an eagle on the river, but there's one on the upper French Broad, and he was fishing. He was going through there. And I think it was Katie said, I'd love to see one swoop down and catch a fish. I just think that would be the greatest thing, to see it swoop down and catch a fish. And as she had said this, it's been about 20 minutes, 30 minutes since she said this. We're coming through Cherryfield Strait, and as you know, there at Cherryfield, the Morgan Mill Trout Farm is on the left, where you, the catch-out ponds, where you go out and pay to fish and you catch the big old trout. We're coming through the strait and look up, and here is a bird. I could not tell what type of bird it was, but it has a trout about that long, and the trout is flopping. It's trying to get loose, and here goes the bird across the top, right out the front windshield, and goes right across in front of the vehicle. That's probably an $8 fish right there that bird just stole. But I don't know what you do about that. How do you keep a bird of prey from fishing in your trout pond? I don't know what you do. I guess you just mark it up as a loss. There, you can't shoot them. You can't do anything about it. So I guess you just mark it up as a loss. But we got to see that. We got to see that bird hunt down and catch a fish. But pretty smart bird. Instead of over there in the French Broad where you might catch a little one here and yonder, he went to Super Walmart, man. He went over there to the trout farm where they grow them things out. He got him dinner, supper, and breakfast tomorrow, man. He got him a big one on the way out. But I got to watch it. I've never seen one do it. I've seen them in Alaska, but I've never seen one here ever do that before. But I saw it yesterday. And I couldn't tell if it was an eagle or not. Typically, that's kind of like an osprey will do that. But again, not sure. But bottom line was that he was hunting, and that bird was hunting. And so what's the job of the fisherman? To find and catch what they have not. What's the job of the shepherd? To feed and keep what they have. The job of the fisherman is to find and catch that which they have not. You say, well, you caught fish yesterday. Yeah, but that was yesterday. We ain't got no fish now. What do you do with them? Well, we sold them all. People ate the fish. Now it's time to go out this morning. What are we going to do? We're going to go catch fish. Again? Yeah, we're fishermen. That's what we do. We're going to go out and we're going to catch fish today. Can I say it this way? As a pastor of 38 years, pastoring the congregation, the membership's very important. It's an important part. But I want you to understand, there'd be no members to pastor if there were no fishermen to bring them in. And the work of the fisherman is needed in order for the church to survive. And so the only hope that we have is that God continues to send forth fishermen to find and catch that which we have not. And we're talking about that for as far as the assembly, but I'm talking about as the kingdom of God. The whole hope of the gospel is to tell someone of their lost condition and the surety of hell if they die and stand before God without Christ as their Savior. And to tell them about the hope of heaven. Now, it's fairly simple. Shepherds work individually in solitude. Fishermen work. There must be involved in society. Solitudes work. Shepherds work alone in solitude. Fishermen work alongside of others. Shepherds are herders. Fishermen are hunters. But here's the final thought. In John 21, we're back at the lake. They all went fishing. They see the Lord on the bank. They come to the shore. And the Lord's got some questions. The Lord's got fish on the fire. They cooked all, they hunted all night. They didn't catch anything. But the Lord's got fish on the fire. And so they ate. And Jesus turns to Simon Peter and said, Simon, son of Jonas, that lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. John 21:17, he saith unto the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The Bible says Peter was grieved because he said unto the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. What was that? Well, just as shepherds work to feed and keep what they have, fishermen work to find and catch what they have not. Jesus taught his fishermen to feed those that they found. And he taught his fishermen to keep those that they caught. In other words, he taught fishermen to become shepherds to the fish that became sheep. That's the bottom line. Here's the question. Are you a sheep? Are you one of his? Do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Do you know Christ this morning?
We trust today's message was a help to you. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 11, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Anchor Baptist Church is located at 3232 Hendersonville Highway in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. May the Lord bless you, and we look forward to meeting with you again soon.